Great.
This morning's scripture lesson is found in Genesis 21. It's a story of two people we don't talk all that often about, Hagar and Ishmael. Ishmael was Abraham's first son, born to him by Sarah's slave woman, Hagar. So he was the firstborn of Abraham's children. And we're going to read a little bit about them this morning. Before we do so, let's open with a word of prayer. Lord, we come on this morning, like we do each Sunday morning, to gather into your presence, to be filled by your Spirit and taught by your word. And so we pray that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear, that our hearts would be receptive to your word. We ask that you would set the man aside and that your word would be proclaimed. We pray all of these things in your name. Amen. Hear now the word of God. Isaac grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, playing with her son Isaac. So she said to Abraham, "Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not inherit along with my son Isaac." The matter was very distressing to Abraham on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, "Do not be distressed because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you. For it is through Isaac that offspring shall be named after you. As for the son of the slave woman, I will make a nation of him also, because he is your offspring." So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she cast the child under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot. For she said, "Do not let me look on the death of the child." And as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar? Do not be afraid, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Come, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make a great nation of him." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. She went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother got a wife for him from the land of Egypt. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When I was 22 years old, I went on a trip to Western Africa. And I remember I was 22 years old because I remember very distinctly somebody saying to me, "Chris, how old are you?" And I said, "Well, I'm 22. And they looked at me and they said, "But you're so fat." Thank you? I'm pretty sure it was a compliment. But apparently it scarred me enough that I remember the exact age I was at the time. Most of my time in Mali was spent in the capital city of Bamako. We built a school. We dug a latrine. It was hot, grueling work. We worked 6 days a week. But on Sunday mornings, we would get up early and we would go to church. And something happened there in Mali that I didn't really expect at the time. I found God there. I found God there in a way that I had never known God anywhere else. I couldn't understand a word that anybody was saying in worship. I couldn't understand the preacher or the words to the songs. I couldn't understand why everybody was dancing around. But I discovered God, and it surprised me. Now, I probably would not have admitted it at the time, but I assumed that Mali was a God-forsaken place. I assumed that I was taking God to Mali. But it turns out God took me to Mali and helped me discover God in a new way. See, God didn't need me to deliver God to Mali. God didn't need me to deliver God to some God-forsaken place. God was already there. As I read this morning's story about Hagar and Ishmael, I can't help but see bits of my experience in it. See, for his entire life, Ishmael has lived in the tents of Abraham. He'd known God there because God shows up in the tents of Abraham. He eats at Abraham's fire. He rests in Abraham's tents. This is the place where God is. It's all Ishmael has ever known. So when he and his mother are sent out into the wilderness, they're sent from safety. They're sent from comfort. They're sent from prosperity. And they're sent out into the unknown. They're sent into the barrenness and lifelessness of a God-forsaken place. Or so it seems. But as it turns out, they discovered God in a new way. See, it would have been easy to look back on the tents of Abraham with longing. And if I were Ishmael, it's quite possible I would have. It would have been easy to remember the life and abundance and a wholeness available there in God's presence. It would have been easy to become depressed and curl in on yourself and cry. It would have been easy to die. And Hagar does for a time. She becomes despondent and accepts her death and the death of her child as though there is nothing more that can be done. She assumes God cannot be found here in this God-forsaken place. And so for a moment, she gives up. Have you ever felt like Hagar or Ishmael? Like the rug's been yanked out from underneath you? Like what you had known, what was safe, what was comfortable, what was life-giving, was all taken away? Maybe it happened in one fell swoop. Or maybe it was chipped away at over the course of a decade. You look back on what was, and you realize that the comfort and safety and prosperity that you had known is gone. And your greatest fear, the one that you can't even really acknowledge to yourself, is whether or not God can be found here in this God-forsaken place. I know God was back there because I experienced it. I lived it. But what about here? I can't tell you how often I hear people in the church talking a little bit like they sound like they might be Hagar and Ishmael. People who look back on a time gone by, an era that once was. We can recognize God at work in that time and place, but we aren't there anymore. And we assume that because God used to work in that way and in that place, then in order for us to be a part of God's presence, to be in God's presence, we must return ourselves to the tents of Abraham. God obviously can't be here. This place is God forsaken. I believe there's hope for us in this morning's story. As it turns out, God sent Hagar and Ishmael out into the wilderness with intention. Perhaps in order to experience God in a new way. When Hagar and Ishmael cry out from their God-forsaken place, when they come to the place where they realize that they can't get back to the tents of Abraham, and when they assume that this means their death, God shows up and God blesses them. Now, when God shows up, God doesn't take them back to Abraham's tents. God blesses them right there in what appears to be a God-forsaken place. God blesses Ishmael right there in the wilderness, right where he was, with a blessing that sounds an awful lot like Abraham's. Is it possible that sometimes God deliberately takes people to the wilderness? And even if God doesn't do it deliberately in all cases, that in all cases, God meets us there with intention in order to bless us in a new place and in a new way? Is it possible that in the tents of Abraham, Ishmael never would have been able to become all that God wanted for him? Is it possible that living in the shadow of Isaac, he would not have been able to become what God wanted for him? Sometimes God doesn't want us to be where we were. Sometimes God wants us in God-forsaken places so we can experience God in new ways. When we look back on the tents as though that is the only place we can receive God's blessing, we fail to experience God's blessing right where we are. If we curl up under a bush and refuse to hear God's voice calling to us from heaven because we long so desperately for what once was, we can't experience the blessing that God has for us here in what may seem like a God-forsaken place. And I say it that way for a reason, and I have used that term very deliberately this morning because there's something else I want us to learn from this story. There's no such thing as God-forsaken space. There's no such thing as a place where God is not. There's no such place where God can't work, no place where God can't bring life, no place where God can't bring blessing. God can work as powerfully, sometimes more so, in those places that we assume are God forsaken than God can even among the tents of Abraham. So what about us? Is God here? Is God here even though we aren't where we once were? Is it possible that God has led us to this place with intention? Is it possible that God might want to give us a new perspective on God's work? That God might want to give us a new perspective on God's character in experiences of barrenness and potential death? Is it possible that we can't receive God's blessing and new life because we assume we can't have it unless we get back to the tents of Abraham? Is it possible that we will miss God's voice calling to us even in this place? Wherever you find yourself, wherever we find ourselves, God isn't waiting back there where we used to be to bless us. God's right here. Even if this place may seem dry and barren and God forsaken to us. Friends, I don't know where the God forsaken places in your life are. I don't know where you find yourself. But I do know one thing. One thing I promise you. Wherever you find yourself this morning, God is there. God is willing to bless you right where you are. And if you need to be moved from where you are, God will do that. But don't spend your time looking at the tents and assuming God can only bless you there. Because when we do that, we may well miss out on the blessing that God has for us right here. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.